Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah.
What up, guys? It's Sam.
What's going on, guys? It's Fulton.
And you guys are listening to 503 for the Fans podcast. This is episode 22. It's been a long, long time since we've been here. We took a break and we dealt with all the off-season moves, and we're about to talk about a lot this episode. There's so much to discuss. I don't even know where to start, honestly. But first, let's talk about the moves before free agency, because there's so much to talk about there. The Blazers had the 25th pick in the NBA draft, and honestly, going to that draft, who were some guys you thought the Blazers were going to get at the 25th pick, Fulton?
You know, looking at what we were, you know, working out with, that Admiral Schofield guy from Tennessee, I thought he was the leading candidate, just because, you know, how heavily we were invested into, you know, working out with him and how many interviews he got with us, and just his overall feel of Portland, I thought for sure he was going to get taken by us.
And I mean, and the spot that we were at, I didn't think we were going to get anybody like who we did.
Oh,
25.
And
I mean,
we're getting to that.
Yeah, I mean, we were obviously not expecting to get a player of his caliber at all.
I mean,
by people who we had working out.
Like, yeah, I totally feel that. I mean, I mean, there was a lot of people sliding at that time. I mean, there was a big drama with Bobo sliding that far.
Kevin Porter Jr. going 30th.
Like. Yeah, I was in for Kevin Porter Jr. totally. I mean, if a guy like who they drafted, Nazir Little, if a guy like that falls into your lap, I mean, you kind of got to take him. This is a former top five recruit coming out of high school. Yep. He was actually rated ahead of Zion before Zion blew up.
Yes, he was.
And he actually has guarded Zion pretty well when Duke and North Carolina played each other. So he's almost like a mini version, but not really mini, because he's almost his size. So, I mean, he was projected a top 10 pick. He slides down in the draft because he had some problems with Roy Williams, I believe. I think he benched him a couple times, and he didn't start the whole season. So I could see where the sliding came, but I mean, I'll take it. I mean, he's a hell of a pick at 25.
I mean, he's what? He's 6'6 with a 7-foot wingspan that can guard, I mean, almost any position on the court.
Yeah, 1-4.
Watching his college highlights, he can score down low. He can shoot the ball a little bit. I mean, overall, he could come in right away and help, but that just depends on how Terry's
not known to play rookies. I mean, you could exactly. I mean, a 19-year-old, he's going to be turning, I think, 20 during the season. 19, yeah, I don't think he's going to get too much run. I mean, there is some – we are not fully depth in the forward position still, but the wings, I mean, we're kind of there. So it depends on Jake Lehman if he comes back. We'll get to that later. But there's so many things to discuss. I mean, what a pick. Neil Shea is doing his thing this summer. I mean, that guy falls into your lap, you got to take him. So hell of a pick for the Blazers. So let's move on. Let's move on to another trade before the free agency. The Blazers traded Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore straight up, and I think Kent Bazemore makes 19 mil. He's expiring this summer, next summer, and he makes 19 mil to versus Evan Turner makes 18 mil. So I think it's almost evens out. I think it's like 600K difference. But I mean, what's your thoughts on the deal, Fulton? What was your thoughts when that deal came through? Like, I think 2 weeks or a week ago.
I found it an immediate upgrade. Just like, I feel like they're the same type of player, three and kind of a playmaking kind of player, but the 3-and-D. I know Evan Turner's not known for his three ball, but the way he, you know, plays the offensive role, like wing corner, and then he goes down and, you know, plays really good lockdown D, that's what Bazemore brings. And, you know, with him only having one more year, that also frees up a lot of space, because Evan Turner had, what, however many years he had left. That was just hurting us. So I think, you know, overall, Bazemore is going to bring the right attitude, because he played in Atlanta for so many years. So I think he'll bring in that attitude that he wants to win now. And I think he's going to do a great job.
And what's your thoughts, Sam?
Like Fulton said, I think it's a good swap, and I think it's an upgrade. I mean, I don't think it's a major upgrade. I think that he does give us that 3-and-D player type, whatnot. He's not quite as like a crafty like shot creator as Evan Turner was. Evan Turner could kind of like run the point when Dame was out of the game. So I mean, we'll see where he fits in. I think that Terry is gonna find a good spot for him in the rotation, like he had Evan. but I think he's going to get more looks than Evan did.
Oh, yeah. And I'll say some things about Ken Bazemore. I think he's a great locker room guy. I think what reports I've heard so far, he's already been a great locker room guy, just being like 2 weeks or a week there, being there. And I've heard great things from him in Atlanta. I've actually previously wanted the Blazers to get him before Atlanta. And if you get him for Evan Turner straight up, Evan Turner's on an expiring deal, you hate to see a guy like Evan Turner go. Of course, it's a good basketball move on a basketball mindset, but and a locker room guy, someone who brings a veteran aspect to the team. I mean, Bazemore can still bring that, but ET just bonded really well with our young guys, and him and Dame were really good friends. So you hate to see that aspect of the NBA because it's hard to let go of those relationships, and I get why a lot of fans are upset with that. But at a basketball standpoint, it is a great move. I think Kevin Bazemore, actually, there's a stat, I don't know specifics, but Kevin Bazemore has shot, I think, 300 more corner threes than Evan Turner, and that is a big, big thing for the Blazers. Because
his three-point shooting is overall just, his percentage is way better than Evan Turner.
I think he's a career 36-37% shooter from three. Yeah, way better than Evan Turner. I'm sorry, Evan Turner is a different style of game, and you could trust him. Like, I mean, you will forever appreciate Evan Turner for his game seven. Yeah, forever.
Definitely.
Yes, and enough about Evan Turner, though. Appreciate him. Shout out to him for being on this team. It's been a blast with you. But Ken Bazemore, I think personally, my prediction, he will be the sixth man this year. I do think he will be the sixth man of this team. I think if Zach Collins is sliding up to be the starter at the four spot, he will be the sixth man. So I think that was a great move. And let's move into free agency. And it's been a crazy day and a half, 2 days now. So let's start at the first move. The Blazers, this is a great value signing for the Blazers. The Blazers signed back Rodney Hood, who was going to get probably the bag this summer, and they got him to buy in and sign a two-year player option deal on the second deal for a two-year 12 mil, and it was worth a full mid-level exception. And that's a great value for Rodney Hood. I mean, what's your thoughts on the deal, Fulton?
Yeah, definitely one of the ones, top two that we wanted to keep. Obviously, Ennis was up there too, but we'll get to that later. Rodney was, he was up there for, one of the biggest, contributors to our playoff run. He had so many clutch moments in that Denver game at home where he had many comeback fourth quarter threes that were pulling us ahead.
And shot like 40% from three in the playoffs.
He's just going nuts and showing what he did in Utah when he was younger. And now that we got him back, I just feel like Noah said earlier, it's either going to be, Bazemore as our sixth man, or I could even see Terry going with Bazemore as our starter possibly, and, having Rodney come off the bench still, because how deadly he was off the bench for us, and just having one of those, permanent scorers with that second unit, I think could really solidify a good second team for us.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think getting him that value is incredible. I think that just shows he really buys in on this team. He believes in them. And he trusts in his position. I mean, he flourished with Terry Stotts' offense. It seems like everyone really does that. I feel tremendous about this, getting him for a potential another 2 years. I mean, he's going to be in a starter role, I believe, at the three position. And I think he's going to ball out this year. I think he's going to have a career year. I really do.
I think so too. And I mean, with how we brought him back, we obviously wanted him back. Terry obviously wanted him back. So, I mean, it just goes to show that he was big and that we do want him here. So I think that I mean, I could totally see first game Rodney starting for sure.
Yeah, and I definitely could. And let's move on. The Blazers signed Monday. They signed Mario Hezonja to a 1 year minimum deal with a player option. And he, this guy, he is actually an iconic meme, honestly.
Yeah.
Super Mario. And he was a former lottery pick. I think a top five, top ten pick.
Fifth pick. Yep.
And he is a.k.a. the LeBron stopper. If you want to go to that essence, on one game. But he had an iconic photo of LeBron. LeBron was on his knees. He was, like, grabbing his eye. And you can see Hanzonia just in the background laughing at him. And I'll put the picture in the podcast. But it's a great photo. And this guy's – it's not like he's a bum or anything. It's a good signing for a minimum deal. I mean, he's young still. To get him at the minimum is
– big time.
Big time.
And, I mean, he's kind of a bigger body too.
Yeah, he's a forward, 6'7".
Brings size that we need, especially for the minimum.
Like, exactly.
You can't really complain.
No, I mean, he's a good – I think he's a 37% shooter from three. He can dunk. I mean, I've seen – go look some Mario Hanzonia highlights just to remind yourself who he is. He can dunk on people. Actually, I think – I don't know if he dunked or he made a layup on Giannis, but he actually stepped over Giannis in a game, and they got into it. So this guy has that dog mentality. I mean, he's going to be a good – probably eight man, seven man.
Yeah, probably eight man.
This with him coming, it makes it hard to see them re-signing Jake Lehman. I don't know if they don't re-sign Jake Lehman, they have to go after another wing, after another forward.
I think Jake's at the point where he's fine with signing back at whatever cost, just because I feel like he knows his role on this team, and I feel like he wants to be on this team when we, you know, succeed like we did last year. And I think
I don't know what's gonna happen with Jake. It's gonna be interesting. But anyways, let's move on. It's good. It's a good value signing. Again, the Blazers, Neil O'Shea has just been on the dot so far this offseason. Kudos to him. I mean, he's really pulled together his entire repertoire, his entire image since this entire season. Like a year and a half, he's really made up for that 2016 year. Like
starting to make the fans happy.
Yes, he's starting to make them happy and starting to give people what they want. They want a team that's going to be built around Dame, and they're starting to really get that. And mentioning getting a team around Dame, this is it's a good trade for the value, and people could agree to disagree, my bad. But this trade, I'm all in for. The Blazers have traded Mo Harkless, Myers Leonard for Hassan Whiteside from the Heat, and they don't give up any picks there. They do take Hassan's expiring deal. It's an expiring deal. They make some money in this summer. They could potentially either trade Hassan, we'll get to that later, or they could potentially win at the deadline, or they could potentially re-sign him for a lower deal, depending if he wants to be a backup. There's just a lot of players, but having him in the time being of Nurkic being out is huge. You got a starting caliber center, the top five rim protector in the league.
Yeah, big time.
And, I mean, he has had some prior things with laziness. And, I mean, but you think about it. How hard is it to keep your – I mean, this guy, obviously, he's a clown. You can see, like, he has a bunch of funny videos. I love the guy. He has a great personality. I think Dame – I mean, he's already friends with Dame and CJ, so he's going to bring some element to the locker room. I don't think he's going to be negative at all.
No, he's just like a free spirit pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just a happy guy who doesn't really care much.
So you bring that type of personality to Miami. You're in Miami, South Beach.
Yeah, I mean, and with – I don't know. He didn't really have any, like, true leaders. I mean,
Dwayne Wade was in and out. He wasn't there.
He was out the door pretty much. So, I mean,
Dwayne Wade and him play fantastic together.
Like, Goran Dragic, like, he's not a leader or anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, you just don't know. It's Miami. He easily could party there. It's not even an excuse. It's just Hassan needs a change, and players need changes, and the Blazers are honestly starting to get famous, not famous, but are starting to get
recognized for our locker room
and developing players that have come and struggled with other teams.
Yes.
I can name a bunch of players. I can name Rodney Hood. Mo and Aminu. They got the most you could get out of those guys.
Easily.
Myers, I mean, you draft them at that thing, but they got the most out of them that you could get. I mean, the Blazers get the most out of these low-time players, or not even low-time, but just lower-tier players. And I think Hassan is going to flourish with this offense. They're going to—they're going to give him some. They're going to give him some plays. They're going to give him some lobs.
Pick and rolls.
Exactly.
Like, Dame is going to tear it up with him.
I mean, he's
going to
be
a great trade asset
at the trade deadline.
Big time.
If Nurkic is back by that time,
if he's back, yeah.
If they want to go that route, they can. He can actually cover $33 million in salary.
Yeah.
So that's one contract he can cover by himself. So he could essentially trade him and Kevin Love could just trade straight up, but I don't know if they wouldn't probably do that. You'd probably have to add someone else in the pick, but still, I don't know where the Blazers go from here, but Hassan, that's a great trade. That's a step in the right direction. That is showing Damian Lillard, hey, we're serious about getting this team for you, and I'm more than proud about what O'Shea has done. I can't even talk right now.
Compared to the last, three off seasons, where he's done absolutely nothing since picking up Aminu and Mo, like, he's gotten rid of we've gotten rid of the four guys that I wanted to get rid of, and we picked up scoring wings, and, I mean, that's what we need.
Exactly. And I totally agree. We need probably one more guy.
One more guy. Little bit more production.
If Kevin Love, we're probably talking about that, but if Kevin Love is at the trade deadline and he's available, you go and you throw us on there. If Nurk's healthy and Nurk's playing all right. That's just my view on it. So I think if you're the Blazers, this is a great trade. If someone says it's not and they clown on Hassan, I mean, what can you do? There's going to be those type of people out there. So let's move on. The Blazers have signed a veteran, Anthony Tolliver, to a one-year veteran minimum deal. Again, a good value. He's only 11th year. It's 11th year. And he used to be on the Blazers in 2009, back in the Greg Oden, the Marcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy days. I mean, Martell Webster. he was there. I don't even know how long he was there. I don't even, like, he
I don't
just,
remember him being
dude, he just passed my mind there. I was, like, probably, like, 11 at the... No, yeah,
nine,
I was 11.
9 or 10.
Yeah. No, yeah, 2009, yeah. So, yeah, you're 9 or 10. Gosh, yeah, he just passed my mind during that time.
Yeah.
I don't remember him, but he is a good three-point shooter. He can guard at least a right. He's not a liability there. It's a good value. We're going to skip over that. He's going to add depth to the four position.
It's just a little help, basically.
Yeah, it's just add. So they have, I think, one more roster spot to fill. I think they need to add another veteran contract. Someone who can play defense, against a guy. Not that you want that no one can guard, but guys against LeBron, Giannis, just guys like that. So I think maybe Luka Mabamute.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't even say his name.
It's hard to say.
But I think a guy like that, I mean, sadly, I was trying to advocate that the Blazers should try to sign Jeff Green, but he sadly just went to the Utah Jazz. So I don't even want to talk about that team right now. They're getting scary over there. And this division's just disgusting.
They are scary. I mean, the West is the strongest it's been in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even with KD gone.
Yeah, if Kawhi goes to LA, we're not going to talk about that. Get that out of this podcast. No. So let's move on. Who left the team? You guys already know E.T., Myers, and Mo. And so we've had three guys that signed deals to different teams. Al-Farouq Aminu signed a 3-year, $29 million deal with the Orlando Magic.
Did not see that coming whatsoever, honestly.
$9 million
out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think they got him for $9.5 million a year.
Yeah,
and
I mean that's decent. There's probably some bonuses in there and whatnot, but I don't know. I was very happy seeing that we did not re-sign him because we need to start building more around Dame, and instead of having just defensive wings, we need guys that can shoot.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I'm tired of seeing the Mo Harkless and Aminu starting lineup.
I'm so tired of watching Dame drive to the fucking hoop
and get
quadruple teamed, get kicked out to Aminu, and he boinks a corner three. every game that happens, and it's just, it was infuriating because we couldn't do anything about it because we didn't have anybody else to put in his place.
I'm tired of Neil playing the buddy system with those four for so long. Like, oh, we got to keep these, you know, close band of brothers together. Like, I get that. Like, you want to win together and you want to succeed together, but we finally realized that that was never going to happen.
Yeah, it comes to a point to where, like, you're not making it any further and you're not making open shots, to where there needs to be a change happening.
Dumping money into friends isn't always the answer for business like this.
Okay. Yeah, while these guys are spitting facts over here, I'm just thinking, I'm just, it's nothing personal against Aminu at all.
Not at all. It's not. Just an upgrade in a player, and he just didn't do what we needed him to do.
Exactly. And he became unplayable in the playoffs. The OKC series, he was godly. He was godly in the OKC series. I was like, okay, Aminu,
He was guarding George with a hurt shoulder. He did look good, but I mean,
he outplayed the hell out of Jeremy Grant.
Yes, he did.
But the next two series after that, it was astounding that he had an NBA contract.
Yeah,
it was astounding.
And his agent was actually coming out the summer trying to say they were looking for 12 to 14 mil, and you're like, the Blazers, no. I'm sorry, but no, Aminu, we're going to give you I would personally only give you 9.
I think Aminu got the most he was going to get by going to Orlando.
Oh,
honestly,
he signed early, within like
he signed a max for that guy.
Yeah, and I don't really get the move because they have so many wings over there. Yeah, Aaron Gordon, they got
just signed Vucevic too.
Yeah, I mean, they have
Terrence Ross again.
They have a bunch of wings over there. It's moving on though. Another guy that left, sadly, but you knew, Seth Curry. He signed a 4-year, $32 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks, his second stint with them. He actually had kind of his breakout year with them, his first time before he got hurt. And I mean, it's a good sign for him. That's a good amount of money for him. That's probably the most he's going to get. But still, the Blazers knew they weren't going to sign him back. And this just shows you who's going to be your backup point guard next year. Anthony Simons.
I was hoping that to be the case like mid-season last year. And now, after the last game that he played in the regular season last year,
it's just
against starters, like showing his ability to score with a group of nobodies on the court, almost like
against one of the best point guards in the league in De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, like, and he showed
running on his head, 37 points.
Exactly. He showed a lot of potential there. What was solidified for me? I'm there. I'm not saying anything. I'm like 90% there. The 10% is it's a one game scale. I've seen him in high pressure moments. He's a rookie. He was 19 last year. I mean, I'm not going to doubt him at all. He came in against Denver one time. It was a regular season. He had a kind of itchy stretch of basketball. Showed his age really bad. And I was like, okay, maybe a year or two. And I mean, he's 20. If he balls out in summer league, I'll be okay. You got the keys to the back, this second unit. You got the keys, okay?
And I mean, so, I'll put it this way. Like, he's playing Dame every single day at practice, basically. So he's obviously going to be improving. And he's obviously improved all season last year. I just think that his ceiling is so high that he's got so much further to go. But as he is right now, I think he's good enough to be a backup.
I agree. And if he goes out from summer league, good for him. I will totally, like I said, give him the keys. So here's another guy that left. Enes Kanter left on a 2-year deal worth $10 million to the Boston Celtics. And there is some speculation with this.
Some drama.
Yeah. And not to hate on Enes, but he kind of lives for the drama. And it's
Not to put that hate
on him, because he's done a lot for this organization just in the short time being. But he said the Blazers technically gave him 6 minutes to decide on coming back to them. He said he called his family, and then he was so worried about them and their minutes, he just told them no. And as much as that, You see that Damian Lillard quotes a tweet. He says that wasn't actually true. The Blazers gave him about 45 minutes, and that was during. And he was trying to make the decision within 6 minutes left.
Yeah, I mean, 45 minutes ain't nothing for a time when you're making a life decision. Exactly. But it,
you're not going to miss out on free agents.
Exactly. We had to make a move in order if he were going to sign or
I guarantee
resign.
That, yeah.
And so we had to make a move, and we made the move that we felt needed.
I guarantee you. I actually guarantee you that Hassan Whiteside deal was on the table in front of them.
Yes, exactly.
During that time,
they probably had it writ up, ready to
exactly.
go as soon as
exactly.
Ennis was
They're
out
like,
the
if you're going to sign, we won't do it. But if you're not, if you're going to take time and consider someone else, and we're going to miss out on this deal, no.
Well, this signing also had partial to deal with Rodney Hood.
Exactly.
Ennis was a number one. He was number one on the priority
list. But he took time.
But he took too much time. And then when he said no, they immediately went to Rodney, and then Rodney accepted.
Exactly. And so, and I'm happy with it. But Whiteside is going to. You love the rebounding Ennis did. You love the offense he brings, but
it's offensive rebounding.
Offensive
rebounding.
Hassan Whiteside
can rebound
on
both sides.
He's gonna protect the rim. He's gonna have something the Blazers haven't had. Oh God! Since Joel Parisbilla.
Yeah, and I mean Ennis did step up on defense in the playoffs, but the level that he's able to play defense is not near Hassan.
This dude is just massive.
He's
7 foot, 7'1". Like, he's 260, 270.
Averages 3 blocks a game.
Like, and he can even pull, like, a 18-footer like Aldridge.
Exactly.
Dude. Like,
exactly.
I don't know, dude. Like, I think this is just an absolute steal. I think we shouldn't even be talking about trading him at the deadline unless it's for Kevin Love or
honestly,
something like that.
I feel you because, I mean, he fits in so well.
Yeah,
his pick and roll, like, oh, my God.
He was lazy in Miami, but everyone is known to come to Portland in such a, like, an environment like this right now with our locker room and how our team is up and coming right now. This guy's going to thrive this
season.
He's
on buy-in.
With him, I hope that it makes him realize having him makes us a true contender for the West.
Exactly.
And like,
in a video, like, yesterday afternoon.
We got shooters.
Yeah, we have shooters.
He has people to shoot around him. Like
exactly. But Heat fans, you guys just didn't have enough shooting. And that's just straight up.
Your point guard is Justice Winslow. Like, he's not a shooter. Your guard is not a shooter.
His
guard just got traded.
He's a small Ben Simmons. Like,
I mean, exactly. So, and you got Dame, CJ, Rodney Hood, Kent Bazemore. I mean, Anthony Tolliver now. Zach can hit the 3-point. I mean, you got shooters around you. I mean, Anthony can knock him down crazy, too. So, he's going to flourish. I think he's going to flourish with us. And I'm sorry, Ennis. I mean, we loved you here. We're so appreciative of what the time being. And really, I'm really appreciative of what you brought to this team. You played with one arm in the damn Western Conference Finals and the whole, actually, the Western Conference semis.
Not eating or
exactly.
Drinking
you
anything.
Fasted. So appreciate to you. No hard feelings. I mean, we may see you again in the future. Shout out to you. And let's move on to the pod. We're going to go to the questions. Actually, before the questions, the Blazers start Summer League this Saturday. Make sure to tune into that. I don't know who they play first. I think they play maybe Utah first. But Anthony Simons, I think the starting lineup is going to be Anthony Simons, Gary Trent Jr., Nazir Little, either Jalen Howard or from Wake Forest, or it's going to be Scal and Mike Duham. Yeah, so that's gonna be a good starting five for Summer League. Dame's cousin is actually on the team too, the one that he actually had people shout out and vote for last season. So make sure to check that out, and that'll be on Saturday. It's gonna be a great game, and it's gonna be a great Summer League. I'm gonna be tuning in every single game. I just want to see Anthony Simons go off. So let's move on to some questions. Here's the first one. Is Hassan Whiteside a trade piece midseason, and if so, who should Portland target? Otto Porter? Like, we were just talking about this literally a couple seconds ago. I think it depends on Nurk's. It depends on how Nurk is for me. If Nurk is not all the way there yet, he's showing signs of the injury, kind of. Like, he's not. You don't trade him. And you kind of tell Hassan, listen, Nurk is our guy, but you are another guy that we prioritize. And if you want to stay on this team and you want to buy in on a six-man role, if you want to, yeah, exactly. Nurk and Hassan would be a nasty 1-2 punch.
Oh my God. I thought Nurk and Ennis were nasty. Like, we lose size with Ennis going in the game. We don't lose any size with Hassan going in the game.
Oh,
and we
no.
don't lose any defense anymore
oh,
either.
No.
So it's just,
and
like,
teams aren't going to bully us on, like, Denver when they bullied us all series on the boards. Jesus. So I think you, if there's a right deal, Kevin Love is a guy you would maybe trade for. Blake Griffin, maybe. Otto Porter, maybe. Those are three guys that you, that's the only three guys you really have to, unless you get someone crazy for him. But those are three guys that you would probably see them actually pulling the trigger on. But Hassan, I don't know. I don't know what direction they're going to go. What's your thoughts, Walton?
Like I was just saying a couple minutes ago, like it's just, I feel like he's just gonna change his overall demeanor, and he's just gonna show what he did, you know, a couple years ago when he was young and getting time for the first time in Miami. He was so athletic. He was everywhere on the rim protecting. Like he was blocking everything into the third row, and he was just, you know, his big body screens. I don't know. I don't see us trading him away for anything less than like a Kevin Love or a Blake Griffin.
Exactly. So let's move on to the next question. Would you like to see Pau Gasol in a Blazers uniform?
No.
See, you say that if you're gonna go Pau Gasol, he's not gonna get more than like 6 to 8 minutes a game.
He's gonna be our 10th man.
Exactly. So you would only add that type of guy to have like that type of influence on the team, a championship demeanor. That's the only way I see them going Pau Gasol route.
Only reason is to have a guy that has championship experience.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Blazers currently, I don't think have a player. I think Kent Bazemore just turned 30. That's our oldest player. So the Blazers don't have anyone above 30. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see where they want to get. Oh, actually, they signed Anthony Tolliver. I take that back. I take that back. But still, like, they only have like two vets on the team, really. And plus, Dame is a vet. Anyways, I don't think Pau Gasol gets in the Blazers uniform. It's fun to think about, but I don't think so. Let's move on to the next question. Why are there a subset of Blazer fans so pessimistic about the loss of Mo, E.T., Myers, Aminu, and Ennis? Those players were adequate, but a little more. The scheme fit of the new players appears to be much improved.
I 100% agree with that. I mean, I don't know why people are so upset with us losing those four. I get being upset that they were cool guys and, like, they liked having them on the team because they helped locker room energy and whatnot, but we literally upgraded in every spot that we lost, so I'm not complaining whatsoever.
Exactly. And the Blazers, the reason why there's people upset is because the teams are going to have homers. I mean, they're going to have
being emotionally connected to players. Like, it happens. Like, you want these people to be on your team, but I'm sorry, the management is going to make a better decision to win more games, and that's what we did. Finally.
Exactly. So, if you're out there and you're sad about it, just know it's more of a personal thing to be sad about that. On the basketball side, the Blazers made all the correct moves. You got to be happy for them there. Those guys, you hate to see them go. It's the end of era of the 2016 signees. And, I mean, besides Ennis. And you hate to see him go, but it's a business, and the Blazers got better at the end of the day. So, next question. Who do you think, or will they finish out the roster with a veteran PG or center?
See,
this actually brings up something I was just about to bring before we wrap this up. The Blazers roster, this is just a depth chart projected. The Blazers roster, point guard, Lillard, Simmons. Shooting guards are McCollum, Bazemore, Trent Jr. Small forwards are Hood, Hanzonia. Layman's a restricted free agent, Little. And power forwards is Collins, Tolliver. And centers, Nurkic, Whiteside, and Scal. And a two-way contract, Jalen Hard. Howard. Oh, yeah, Howard. Anyways, so that's the roster. If you guys brought that again and you guys replay that, just listen to it. There's a lot of new guys, so if you don't know the whole entire roster, just check out the Twitter or check out Jason Quick, guys like that. They'll fill you in quickly, but still, I think you don't need a veteran PG. You maybe do. You maybe have one that's super old, just to mentor Anthony and just to like show him the backs and the ropes of doing that. Or you go and you sign a guy like.
I think I would rather have a veteran center because, I mean, we already have Dame to be that guy for Anthony. Like, Dame is a homebody. He's a good guy. See, yeah. So
if you go center, you essentially are saying, I mean, do they trust Scow to be the backup center for the rest of until Nurkic is out?
I mean, he showed a lot last year, but he's a little sketchy.
I think he showed one game's worth of what he could do. I don't think he showed, you know, consistency, obviously, because he never got the minutes, but he's never really had NBA time. So I think that's a bit of a, you know, toss-up when we're throwing him into our kind of lineup. I mean, where we're trying to go.
Yeah. Coming into the league, he was supposed to be super good, right?
He was supposed to be good coming out of high school, and it's always been downhill ever since high school. And so I don't know what to expect for an NBA career type for him. But with what we're trying to do here, I don't know if I want to put all my bags into his basket.
Exactly. Kind of thing. Exactly. So I see where you're coming. I think they maybe go center. And, like, I don't know who's specifically on the market right now. But I don't. You don't go a Boogie Cousins route. I mean, you maybe go that route, but a Moody Whiteside and a Moody Boogie Cousins. Wow. I mean, you're getting Jailblazers territory there. I swear, you are.
No, we are. But like, think of it like this: if we're signing someone like that, we're not necessarily signing them. We're trading them and signing them, or something like that. We don't have money for that.
No, but so, he's apparently. I don't know if you know. No one's like the most he's got is one contract worth the mid level. So if they could potentially get him for the veteran minimum, like that would be crazy.
Then I'm all in for that.
You are.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So it also comes into my question. So like we were talking about trade deadline, right? So we were thinking Kevin Love for someone like that. But we were talking about a whole last season that we wanted Aldridge back. What do we do there?
You could go Aldridge. I mean, see, if the Spurs are struggling at that time, they're not a top 10, they're not a top 8 seed.
And we dump one of those two.
Okay, then sure, I'll be for it. I mean, you dump Hassan for Aldridge, I don't think the Spurs would be mad.
But to say we don't have Boogie, to say we don't have another backup center, Then
you go off the buyout market and you get someone.
But is that basing off what Nurk feels too?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and I think we're going to wrap it up here. I mean, it's been a great long episode. I mean, we've been taking a break, but we'll be back in probably a week or so, week or two, depending on what's going down, unless something just
need more stuff to develop. Exactly. Just more content.
Off season. We'll talk about Summer League and all that, but thank you guys for tuning in. We'll answer way more questions, and peace out, guys. It's Noah.
Peace out, guys.
Peace out.